creative entrepreneurs, people who make money online, what are some of the biggest mistakes they make with their money?
Hello and welcome to the second episode of our three-parter with Sam Ewens, the creator accountant.
For every pound you're earning, you're giving 80% away.
In this episode, we're going to get into accountancy advice for anybody setting up their business in any sector.
Barber shops or other small businesses, they're actually better off working 4 days a week rather than 5 days a week. You have to give all of that fifth day's profit to HMRCs. Your schools, colleges, universities, they don't teach you any of this stuff. I think maybe the government like it that way.
Hope you love it and I hope you get a lot from it. And thanks again for Starbucks Accountancy for sponsoring this episode.
Right, let's get into some detail now around how to manage money. Because I think a lot of people don't know how to manage their money. I'm sure you've seen some very horrific stories of bad money management, which we can maybe get into. So, okay, I'm a creator or I'm making money online. I get my first bit of ad rev from YouTube. What do I do?
Yeah, really good question. Obviously, a conversation I've had, you know, hundreds of times over the last few years. So the first things first is, you know, sit down and try and understand what the right business structure for you is. So there's a number of options out there. You can operate as a sole trader, which is just you as an individual registering for taxes and registering your business with HMRC. And, you know, you would be paying taxes as Jordan Schwarzenberger. That's option one, the simplest, lowest cost, but there can be some downsides as well. The biggest one being, as you and the business are not separate, if anything kind of goes wrong within the business, all of your personal wealth is effectively kind of there as collateral as well. So in an extreme circumstance, if somebody were to sue the business of Jordan Schwarzenberger, they would be suing as you as well. So your house, your car, your jewelry.
Have you seen that happen before?
In a little bit, I've not seen it kind of go all the way through, but I've seen individuals get their business into difficulty. And as they're a sole trader, they don't have the distinction and the separation to say, well, I own my house, my car, you know, etc. personally, and my business owns my laptop, my phone, maybe an office space, etc. And you keep that degree of separation. So if anything goes wrong within the business, your personal assets are protected. So that's one of the downsides of being a sole trader, but it's low cost. There's loads of help online. And actually, you can fill out your self-assessment tax return yourself. I like to think, you know, if anybody puts in a fair few, you know, hours, they can give it a go. I almost said tax law is very, very complicated. You're never really going to know everything. Mm. But, you know, there's loads of help and support out there to be able to do a sole trader self-assessment on your own. Obviously, the next one is you can operate as a limited company. So a limited company is a separate legal entity, as we refer to it, from you as an individual. And that's going back to that point of separation. You can own the company, but the company can own assets. And that company is, you've got to think of it as almost as a separate person. It can outlive you. It can be owned by somebody else in the future. And that gives you that protection. It's also taxed slightly differently. And also you can there, in that kind of structure, you can have multiple owners, multiple directors.
And let's say I go down the line, I say, cool, sole trader makes sense. Let's get going. And things start to go well for me. Let's say I start making more money now. And I'm like, well, okay, that maybe, you know, grand a month is turned into 10K a month and I'm making more meaningful money. What then do I do?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things you've got to keep an eye on is whether you need to register for VAT. So obviously at the moment in the UK, the threshold for registering for VAT is £85,000 of taxable turnover in a 12-month period. And lots of people don't keep an eye on that. You know, business takes off really quickly. Mm. You know, you have one viral video and all of a sudden you're getting approached by major brands for big money. Your ad revenue is increasing significantly. So it's very easy to be trumbling along at, you know, a couple of £1,000 a month. And then all of a sudden, boom, one video goes viral. And actually, you've got to start thinking about, well, should I still be a sole trader or should I now be a limited company? Do I need to be VAT registered? One of the biggest challenges I see creators face is the concept of obviously paying your tax so much later than when you've earned the revenue. If you were to set up a business tomorrow, you were to sign a big contract and invoice somebody and get that money paid, you wouldn't have to pay tax on that for 21 months. So that would be rolling forwards into kind of summer 2025. So actually, as a young creator, you have to be disciplined enough to say, wow, I've got this money in the bank. I don't owe any tax for nearly 2 years, but I have to put it aside and don't spend it because it's not your money. And we encourage all of our clients, whether it's via a tool that one of the challenger banks provides, or whether it's maybe a little bit more manual of having a current account and maybe a VAT account or a tax account or just a deposit account, especially with interest rates obviously going up at the moment, it's quite good to be putting your money in the correct kind of bank accounts. But coming up with a process that works for you is the most important thing. But making sure that you're putting money aside for future tax liabilities, and like you say, separating the funds that are there for you to be able to spend and funds that ultimately aren't yours. VAT doesn't have a huge impact. It doesn't really come at a significant cost other than an administration cost of having to prepare and file VAT returns every couple of months. But actually for consumer driven businesses or B2C businesses, VAT can have a huge impact. And we see this with a lot of kind of trades people, whereby they're actually really reluctant to hit the £85,000 threshold to become registered, because at that point they have to charge VAT to all of their customers. So I always use the example, if I'm a plumber and somebody's got a leaking tap, if they phone up two plumbers, one is VAT registered and one isn't, and one says they're both quote you £100, the one that isn't VAT registered gets to keep the whole £100. The one that is VAT registered has to give nearly £17 of that to HMRC. Yeah. So it actually becomes anti-competitive to become VAT registered. So the government are trying to tackle it at the moment, maybe think about reducing the thresholds, but there is actually a lot of small businesses artificially capping their revenue because they don't want to have to charge their consumer customers an extra 20% to earn the same amount of money. We see it as well in places like barber shops or other small businesses where they're actually better off working 4 days a week rather than 5 days a week, because actually by the time you've worked that fifth day, you've had to register for VAT. You have to give all of that fifth day's profits or revenues to HMRC. So you say, I might as well work four days because I'm going to earn the same amount of money and have a day off. One other tip I always give to kind of influencers and creators is thinking about different currencies. So obviously creators generate a lot of revenue in US dollars. So whether that's on YouTube, whether that's on TikTok, whether that's on, other platforms, a lot of, advertising and marketing dollars are set up and money is set up in dollars. So ultimately the supply chain is dollar driven. But actually, as a UK business or a UK creator, receiving US dollars into a GBP or pound denominated bank account is bad business, because the bank give you a really poor exchange rate, and two, they actually charge you fees for receiving a foreign currency unsolicited into a UK bank account. So I always recommend to my clients is to set up a US dollar account here in the UK. You don't have to have an American bank for that. Your high street bank will be able to give you a US dollar bank account. Make sure your AdSense account or your platforms are linked to the US dollar account. You receive 100% of the revenue into US dollars. And then you can choose at what point you exchange that into pounds. And you can maybe keep an eye on the exchange rates, wait till it moves in your favor. That's a small tip, but actually for the larger creators, you know,
it makes a massive difference.
It can make somewhere between 1.5% to 2% difference, which wow. You think
if you're
earning 100k a month through ad rev, over a year that's $25,000. That's a member of staff
that you're just giving away,
paying for, just giving away, just gone.
Interesting. How would you explain tax in the UK to me?
Yeah, I suppose yes. I mean, first of all, it's very complicated, and that's why you have professionals such as us, and you actually have professionals in different areas of tax as well to focus on those particular areas. And our job as a professional accountant is to make sure we can get the best overall tax result for the client within all the rules and regulations. Our job is to understand the rules, understand the regulations, but make sure we are setting up business structures or advising the client how to operate within the rules in the most efficient way possible. We have a progressive tax system whereby you'll pay more the more you earn.
What are those rates?
So currently, as an individual, you'll pay 20% if you earn just under £50,000. You'll earn 40% if you earn between 50 and £100,000. There's then this kind of trap, as I'll call it, between 100 and 125,000 pounds, where you're effectively paying 60% tax. Now, that's not a rate of tax that you will find advertised by HMRC anywhere, but it's the impact of you losing your personal allowance, which is that 12,500 pounds you can earn tax free.
You lose it after 100K.
So if between 100 and 125.
I got done with this when I was at YMU, right? So I remember randomly, I think one, it was like maybe my second year.
You get a bonus or something.
Yeah, tipped it, and then my tax rate changed, and I was like, wait, I've got less money. Why?
Exactly. So in an extreme example, between 100 and 125K, you can be paying 60% tax, 2% national insurance. You could then be paying, say, student loan repayments at 9%. So we're already up to 71%. And then you could also, when you earn over £100,000 or one of the two parents earns over £100,000, you lose your right to the 30 hours free childcare that you get for three-year-olds. So obviously at the moment, if between three and the age where they go to school, you get 30 hours a week free childcare. Yeah. Whereas actually if one parent earns over 100K, you lose it's that gone. Entitlement. So if you add the effective cost of that for one or two or three children, I've seen effective tax rates reach kind of up around 80%. So for every pound you're earning, you're giving 80% away in lost.
How is that tenable?
It, like I said, and that's why they don't advertise it or talk about it too much. That's our job to educate clients. And obviously there is things you can do about it. You know, if you put some of that money into a pension instead of, you know, taking it as kind of income or as salary or profit, you know, you can help reduce your income in order to kind of keep below some of those thresholds. And then the highest rate of tax currently in the UK, formally, is 40. Yeah, we're not far off. Is 45% plus the national insurance contribution.
And that's over 100.
So,
is that over 125?
So over 125K now. Yeah, it was 150.
This video is sponsored by Starbucks Accountants, one of the leading digital entrepreneurship focused accountancy firms in the country. Starbucks looked after some of the biggest creators, helping them across various different services from tax planning to bookkeeping and literally everything in between. As I would say, all of the boring stuff, but very important to get that right, and Starbucks will cover you. So if you want to know more, go to starbucks.co.uk to find out. Can you just explain a little bit as to why it is, in many ways, not for everyone, way more beneficial from a tax perspective to have your own company?
Yeah, for sure. So the gap has actually been closed significantly relatively recently, but if we rewind, you know, 6 or 12 months, and it had been like that for a while, if you have your own company, as we were saying earlier, separate legal entities, it has its own taxes that it's responsible for. So it pays tax under a completely different tax regime. It pays corporation tax rather than income tax. And the rate of corporation tax for the last 10 years or so has been 19%. And that doesn't matter whether you earn £1,000 profit or if you earn £1 million profit, you will pay a flat 19% on everything.
That's called corporation tax.
Corporation tax. The rate has, as of April, actually just increased to 25%. So that's quite a significant increase. But what that means is you can shelter some of your profits and some of your income at lower rates of tax. So if you're earning £500,000 a year, you're now going to pay 25% tax on that on everything, whereas as we were just talking about, you could be paying 45% plus national insurance if you were a sole trader. Now, that's not the whole story. It's not a like for like comparison. You're not comparing apples with apples looking at it that way, but it gives you flexibility. You can pay the 25% corporation tax, and then you could choose to control your own personal income. You know, you can choose how much you take as a salary and dividend from your business. So you could, what it avoids is some of these peaks and troughs. You know, imagine if you're a creator and you have three amazing years earning £500,000 a year, you're paying all these higher rates of tax, and then for whatever reason your revenue or your income falls significantly, you cancelled, fall ill, and you're earning a much lower sum. You've paid all these higher rates of tax for a few years, whereas actually, if you could have kept that money in a limited company, paid less tax now, and drawn that out over, say, a 10-year period, you could have kept yourself below some of these higher tax thresholds in each one of those 10 years. As a sole trader or as an employee, you don't have that choice. No. You're taxed in the year on those higher rates in the year you earn it. So having a company, actually, if you take every penny out of a company these days via dividends, the tax rates are very similar to being a sole trader. So it just gives you enhanced flexibility to control your own tax liabilities moving forwards.
Yeah. And what are the things, again, I'm this creator, I don't know who this creator is, but I'm this creator, I'm killing it, things are going well. What do I have to prepare for then towards April?
Yeah, so obviously April's the end of the personal tax year. So even if you have a company, you still have personal tax obligations as well. And obviously by the end of April, you may want to have looked at making pension contributions, as we mentioned before. Obviously, pensions are still very, very beneficial from a tax perspective. You can effectively save money. Gross.
You can take it out from your company, can't you? Because is it 60k each?
This year, now it's up to £60,000 a year you can put into. You've been learning, you've been doing some research. So up to £60,000 a year you can put into a pension, and you can save tax on putting that money in there. You effectively can invest from before any tax has been deducted. So you may also want to look at any kind of tax efficient investment schemes. So you've got EIS, which is the Enterprise Investment Scheme. You've got CDIS, which is referred to as SEIS. Those are kind of time limited. You know, you get an annual allowance of how much you're available to kind of put into some of these schemes. So I think it's, you know, about understanding what your projected income is going to be and what tools do you have available to you to, you know, potentially look at you're controlling the income that you're going to have to submit on your tax return. So going back to that example, if you think you might earn £100,000 and your employer says to you, actually you're going to earn a £10,000 bonus in March, it might be sensible to think, well, actually if I take that £10,000 bonus, by the time I've paid tax, national insurance, maybe paid my student loan repayments, I might see £3,000 of that, or I can put £10,000 in your pension for you. So actually that's
tax free then.
That whole 10,000 will go into your pension at that point. And there's the other benefits of maybe childcare, et cetera, as well. So it's about just understanding where you think your income's going to be. What are you going to have to declare? But you can't retrospectively make these contributions. So you can't put money in your pension in April, May and allocate it to the previous tax year. You can use previous year's allowances that you've unused, but the tax point is the point in which you physically pay the cash to your pension provider, say, as an example. So it's really important to not think, oh well, I'll deal with that in April. You have to be taking action earlier to take any steps you need to in January, February, March to try and kind of control your income.
And what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see creative entrepreneurs, people who make money online, make a lot of money, make some money, what are some of the biggest mistakes they make with their money?
For sure. I think there's sometimes a false confidence that this might last forever. It's like, I've had 3 good years. This is never going to stop. I'm going to be earning like this for the rest of my life. And therefore, they have significant lifestyle creep, whether it's cars, jewelry, renting expensive properties in London, super expensive holidays. And they've told themselves that this is like a salary. It's never going to end. And for some people, unfortunately, it does. And therefore, you've got high lifestyle costs, low income, and any savings that you may have had get eaten into really, really quickly. Similar problem to what we see in professional sports. You have this kind of inverse earning kind of curve where traditional careers, as you get older and you get more experienced, you tend to earn more money. In sports, media and entertainment, it can quite often be the opposite. You can be earning the most money the earliest in your career because, you know, the older you get, sometimes you become less relevant. There's less people consuming your content, and therefore your earning potential is less. So it's all about, I always say to people, kind of, you know, make hay whilst the sun shines. You know, let's put money away for a rainy day whilst you're earning good money now, almost in kind of a quasi kind of pension, you know, savings vehicle of some sort, so that, you know, you don't feel like you have to keep uploading content or generating content if you don't want to. Or if you find yourself in a position whereby you can't generate the revenue that you used to earn, you've put money aside, whether it's in property or stocks and shares or other assets, or maybe it's build your own businesses. And I know you and I share, our view on that, whereby if you're a creator or young kind of entrepreneur who's making money online, diversify whilst you're hot and whilst you can. Don't think, well, actually, when I'm not doing YouTube or not becoming a content creator anymore, I'll launch a business at that point. It's like, start planting those seeds whilst you're still, and you know, approaching the peak or at the peak of your kind of content career. The other one is, you know, some of those items we discussed earlier around money management, day-to-day money management, you know, looking at your bank account and thinking that's all your money when it's not. You've not paid your PAYE, you've not paid your VAT, you've not paid your corporation tax, you've not paid your personal tax. So sometimes people will look at their accounts and think, oh, I'm doing really, really well. And when I tell them, you've got to pay X, Y, and Z, they go, I haven't got enough money to pay all of that. And they're actually almost in debt equity, in negative rather than they think they're in positive. You know, one of the biggest jobs we do is education and helping them learn, because your schools, colleges, universities, they don't teach you any of this stuff. You kind of got to go and fend for yourself. And I don't know, maybe I'm cynical, but I think maybe the government like it that way, that
I'm a very conspiratorial individual, but I hadn't even thought about that one. But that's actually a pretty good point.
They like maybe people spending their money because it keeps the economy moving, right?
If everyone was so super prudent and smart about their money, then actually there'd be a lot less. And also, you know, I'm sure a lot of money is made through bad money management and through, you know, people not looking after their tax money, everything else. And if that dried up because people are smarter, then maybe,
who knows, eh?
Maybe.
That was great. Thank you so much again to Sam for sharing so much wisdom and insight. I hope you guys got a ton from it. And if you're looking for more like this, then check out episode 1 and stay tuned for part 3, where we're going to get into all the issues around managing money and finance that you probably didn't get taught at school, but you definitely should have. So make sure to like, comment, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you again next week.